It is Thursday, the 17th of January, and this is episode 147 of Digital Outbox. Welcome along to another episode. I'm Chris, and I'm hosting today, and as ever, I'm joined by Ian. Hello, Ian.
Good evening, sir.
You're right?
I'm a bit tired.
Yeah, a bit later than normal today.
It's not the lateness, I'm just tired.
Oh. Do you need to see someone about that?
Actually. Anyway.
Probably do. Let's not get into that. Right, let's move on. Happy, happy. Oh, no, actually.
Before we move on to the happy, happy stories, there are two things I need to point out. Right, okay, so one, this is quite potentially the most depressing episode of our podcast ever.
Pretty much is. Yeah.
And certainly my editing wasn't the best last week. So, Chris pointed it out, Roy pointed it out, and sorry.
It's one of those things. I think it's the first time that anything's... let's not say the first time, because actually, probably not. It's the first time we know that something cocked up, but...
It's the first time you've listened back to our podcast and noticed.
It was so exciting having Henry along, we just wanted to add a bit more of him in there. Yeah, right. So brace yourselves, dear listeners. Here we go.
See if you're feeling down.
Don't listen, turn away.
Skip this week.
Because we're going to start with the sad news that Aaron Schwartz has committed suicide at the age of 26. He's famous for starting. Well, he's famous for starting up Reddit and a number of other websites over in America, and he was being he was going through court because he had downloaded a whole ton of academic journals which he was going to make freely available on the internet, and he was being prosecuted for it, which came with the possibility of a long jail sentence. And he was a person known for depression, and he killed himself. Obviously, the internet's picked up on this because it was all about freedom of speech in online, basically. And they've run with it, really.
And the thing to point out, I mean, yes, founder had read it, but I mean, at 14, he contributed to the RSS spec. You know, he was a genius. Certainly, and for me, I've got to be honest, I hadn't really, you know, when the news broke, I was like, I've got to be honest, I don't know him. I don't know what he does, but I started reading up about him, and then more people tweeted about him, and it was just like, wow, what a guy. You know, he was clearly a genius. He was very passionate, more of an internet activist as he got older. And also, there was actually... That's quite sad. You know, when you started looking at his website, I mean, there was a post in 2007, and he's changed the name now, but basically it was almost a, you know, almost a suicide note. It was talking about, you know, him committing suicide. So I seemingly did suffer from depression, and it's a real shame.
Just after we finished last week, basically got announced that Jessop's is going to close. So Jessop's, the high street camera retailer, been around for an awfully long time, in, you know, olden days, proper olden days shop, and basically it has gone into a receivership. So they've closed all their stores, and they've got the administrators in, and they're definitely not going to stay open, basically.
Oh, no, they're gone.
Yep, they've shut up shop, and that's it, they're gone. But more, I mean, I think we'll obviously get, let's roll these three stories together because they're all the same thing, because it's been a bit shocking this week because we've had HMV, another high street store, been around for years and years. They've also gone into administration. And finally, we also had Blockbuster announced, I think it was yesterday, they've announced that they're now going into administration as well. HMV and Blockbusters, they're hopeful they might be able to find buyers based on at least part of their business. But that's not certain at the moment. They've all stopped trading, and certainly stopped trading on the stock exchange as well.
Yeah.
So this, I guess the wider story is, wow, what they were saying was true about high streets and what is the future of our high streets?
I think out of the three, HMV got the biggest press. I think it was quite a shock for some people. I think if you had been paying attention, you saw HMV had been in trouble for years. And a lot of people are blaming Amazon and blaming the internet. But in many ways, it's the prices HMV were charging. You know, if you went into any branch of HMV and looked at some of the pricing, it was like, well, I'm just not going to pay that because I can either find it cheaper elsewhere online, or I could nip to a supermarket and get any chart title cheaper if I wanted to, if I was really desperate for something that day.
I guess the whole argument around all this is, yeah, online doesn't have the overheads, and therefore they can sell it cheaper. Now, and supermarkets are willing to do loss leaders to drag you into the store because they know you're going to spend money on their supermarket goods.
That's true, but I mean, there was a sign up, I can't remember if it was Liverpool, Manchester, it doesn't really matter, but it was a branch of Jessop's that put up a sign, and it says, thanks Amazon for, you know, paying your taxes. As if that was like the main reason that they'd gone out of business. And I was talking about it with some friends. I mean, they remembered you could buy a camera body in Jessop's and the price was fairly competitive to online. And I certainly bought mine from Jessop's because it was not any cheaper. But when I went to buy a memory card, it was like 3 times the price. And that's nothing to do with paying tax. You know, it's certain things they were quite happy to fleece you. You know, it was there's no other way. It's nothing to do with internet price, and they were dearer than other, you know, local shops as well.
I mean, the HMV closing in particular is pretty shocking for the music industry as well, which is already struggling. And HMV was responsible for selling 27% of all DVDs and Blu-ray discs and 38% of physical music.
Which is massive. So,
I think it was a massive chunk of a reclining market, obviously, with digital music coming in. But nevertheless, HMV was pretty much the last place on the high street that sells CDs. In fact, I think it was the last place, other than your independent stores. So, yeah, it's pretty serious. I mean, what it does say is that Virgin Music probably got out at the right time.
They
saw it coming and pulled.
And HMV tried to change, I don't know, was it a year ago, 18 months? They kind of started going for the kind of gadget market. They were starting to sell some Apple products, the kind of, you know, headphones and all that kind of stuff. You could go into an HMV and pick that up. And there was a whole...
The thing is, when was the last time you went into an HMV?
I know.
And the last time I went to an HMV was to look at box sets. And I thought, well, screw it. I mean, I can just go and buy these. I can buy these on Amazon for a lot cheaper. And I guess that's the thing, you know, if as a consumer you can buy it cheaper elsewhere, you don't think about the nuts and bolts of what that means to, you know, the high street. And I guess as the high street, you have to work out, can I compete on these things? If not, then I have to do something different.
I also think they were maybe not ruthless enough. I know it sounds really harsh, but I mean, what seems to be coming out this week is that 100 of their or 120 of their stores were in profit. And kind of propping up, you know, the chain. And they seem to have lots of stock, but it's lots of old stock they can't shift. Whereas the new stuff was coming in and selling out. So, you know, you do wonder, with a few tweaks, could you turn that into a fairly stable, profitable business still?
Well, and that's what the administrators are looking at. And we can't forget the fact that this behind these stories are the... you know, the people and the jobs that go with them. So, you know, you've got to hope that something can be salvaged out of all these things. Blockbuster, they still say the core of their business is still profitable. So the chances are...
And I don't know how. I've got to be honest.
Well, because I don't think the on... I mean, it's not going to be long before it's not profitable. Let's put it that way.
No.
But so far, streaming has not got the backstock and the support. If Blockbuster go and people like Blockbuster go, then obviously the streaming will suddenly become a lot.
But remember, we're only probably a year into Netflix and a couple of years into Love Film, and it's now every device comes with it. I mean, when I picked up my Blu-ray player at Christmas, there's a big Netflix button on the remote control.
None of them yet have enticed me in, though. I don't know. I mean, I think it's just because my tastes are changing and what I like and.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, stuff like that.
But it's the same way some people...
None of them come with the full thing.
No, and some people won't go to Sky and other people won't do this and do that. There's not...
Sure.
I think there's more fragmentation now. I think when you could go 20 years ago and there was like, you know, there was a couple of consoles, there was one, you know, there was a DVD format and there was a CD format and that was it. And that was how you got your content. It's changed days now. It's all over the place.
And as a consumer, are we going to miss out on that? I mean, maybe it's going to be time for, you know, the small independents to start jumping in and...
Well, I think for really many, you know, towns and cities, you're going to be, you know, there's not going to be anywhere to go and browse media. You know, it's and maybe there's a younger generation that doesn't bother anymore. It's all online. But you know,
I have to say, I don't like the process of browsing media, I have to say. And I guess things like clothing is always going to exist purely on the grounds that, I mean, I know a lot more clothing is being sold online, but generally speaking, you want to be able to go and try it on. And they haven't come up with a really easy solution. You know, it's quite a big thing to buy a ton of stuff and have to send it all back if it doesn't fit. It's a pain.
It is a pain. And I think the other thing I think is changing as well is that it was always a pain if you got something through and it either didn't fit or it didn't, you know, it wasn't to your taste or it looked different when you got it. And with media, the thing that was always an issue for me was I in to receive it. You know, I never went to somewhere where it was like a recorded delivery because I just wanted it delivered. And Amazon are even changing that now with the kind of, you know, yeah, sure, local shops and, you know, the lockers and stuff like that. They are, it's almost like the last 10 to 20% of difficulties in posting, apart from Yodel. They seem well, to be...
yeah, it's cool. It's a bit like the broadband and the last, you know, the copper to the home. It's the last mile of the delivery that actually is the problem, or the last 10 miles probably.
I don't think this is the end of like a big chain of shops like an HMV. Whether it still keeps the brand or whether they go for something different, I'm not sure, but I still think there'll be a 60, 80, 90 chain store around the UK selling media.
There's still certainly going to be a lot of big storefronts open. I mean, obviously, this will, you know, Woolworths was not that long ago. We're going to see a lot more coffee shops and independent stores on our high streets, basically.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, Dixon's announced their last year's takings, and they had a really good Christmas because Comet's gone. You're now getting down to almost like a core of here's the ones that are left standing and that's all you've got.
I'm pretty sure John Lewis reported good sales as well. And they obviously go on the, you know, they're not the cheapest, but then they supposedly got people who know what they're talking about.
The amount of people that say, I won't buy a TV from anywhere else because I get a 5-year guarantee.
Yeah.
And it's a good name and I don't have hassle.
So maybe it's about finding a niche and maybe there were just too many. I mean, the fact that, you know, there's so many stores all based around the same, you know, underlying company, all shifting pretty much exactly the same gear at pretty much exactly the same price. It's just too many outlets, maybe. So maybe we'll see a refinement of how many outlets and what they actually offer.
And I've slapped it under super irony, but in the last half hour, there's rumours that Game are looking to pick up 30 to 40 of HMV stores. Which is like, what?
Game have been really, really competitive since their almost failure.
Since they wiped their debt and could start again? Is that what you
mean? Basically, yeah. So they seem to be really, really aggressively pushing home and pushing people online as well and all those kind of things. So maybe Game will survive, but it's tough out there.
I think Game will survive. I think some form of HMV will survive. I'm not convinced. I really am not convinced about Blockbuster.
No, it maybe seems like an old model now.
Even their stores. I mean,
I haven't been to Blockbusters for years and years.
There's just a whiff of like 80s about them.
Mm.
You know, like just, I don't know.
It's probably still got the cassettes in there.
It's the carpet tiles.
Right, let's move on. So TweetDeck have been threatened with, yay, woo, more happy news. They've been threatened with closure for non-filing of company accounts. So TweetDeck, owned by Twitter, and TweetDeck, its selling point was that you could have multiple accounts all showed nicely in one go. So if you were a person who was controlling brands, you could kind of control them in a nice graphical way. But they haven't filed their company accounts, which they have to do legally, and they've been given 99 days to do that, or they'll be chucked.
Pretty much. I mean, Twitter bought them. And I think a lot of people used to love TweetDeck. And
then it was the big thing at one point.
Yeah, and I had it installed, and I remember having it installed and thinking, I just don't get it, but I was never in charge of a big, massive brand. But the time when I did use it, it was like a news story breaking. They were one of the first that you could have, you know, multiple windows open and put in like different hashtags and search.
That's right, and you could have multiple searches.
And it was all coming through, and it was like, wow, that's a lot of data.
And it kind of made sense on the iPad as well, because that was, you know, it used the space better probably than others did.
Yes.
I think since all the kind of post inserts and things like that, you know, inline pictures and stuff came in, I think it all did become a bit too much to have. And I think Twitter's now not about 144 characters, is it? Really?
No. And also the fact that Twitter bought them meant there was no chance of ever seeing things like, you know,
innovation.
Yeah, but new any stuff. But no, but any kind of muting or being able to better control that volume. You know, so things like, you know, like Tweetbot have come out, and there's a whole lot of other apps have come out that actually allow you to like get rid of all this, mute this just now, and you just can't do it.
There's that Tweetbot word again.
Sorry.
We love it. We love you. We're not ashamed.
Maybe not love.
We enough to buy it everywhere you go. Everywhere you go. Going to town, going to buy Tweetbot. Right, Facebook events. Can we put this under sad news? I don't really know. Maybe we're not. Maybe we're on the way out. So Facebook had a big event. Now, hands in the air, I haven't caught up on it. I know that they were talking about the their new graph search. So what the hell? I mean, I cannot grasp exactly what they mean by a graph and why they called it a graph in the first place. But now you can search it.
First of all, what a cockingly awful name. But I'm guessing they had a choice between like graph search or like creeper search, because it's
Snoopy.
Yeah. And so there was a lot of talk about this event beforehand. It was like, is it going to be a phone? Is it going to be
phone. Yeah, just gadget. I want a gadget.
And what came out was this graph search. And people they've talked about search for a long time, saying it's the last thing they need to do. You know, they need to get into search or else they'll get left behind. And they made it, you know, Zuck was up there and they made it quite clear. Yeah, we're
Zuck.
Doing Zuck.
Hi, Zuck. Yeah. All right.
Well, Zuck rhymes with. And he made it quite clear that we're doing search, but we're not going to search the web. And what they're indexing is their map of the graph. So they talked about this social graph before. And if you go and download your data from Facebook, you realise how much they go and track. It's like every login.
So social graph is, I'm trying to clear myself up more.
Social graph
is when they call things objects rather than things. So instead of a website with text in it, it looks at the content and works out what that text is talking about and the pictures associated with it. And whether it's mentioning links to other places, which then are linked objects rather than actual.
And social text. If you look at like your website, look at like your Facebook page, I mean, your social graph would be obviously your friends and friends of friends, and it's your likes, and it's your photos, and it's your check-ins.
What school you went to.
Yeah. So what they're saying is that they've, you know, what they're searching and indexing is this graph, and the figures they trotted out, I guess, you know, they claim there's 1 billion people. So that, you know, there's every day, they're seeing almost 1 million new people. They're getting 240 billion photos to search and index.
Wow.
There's 1 trillion connections between all of this. But before they showed anything, they says, what we wanted to build is privacy aware. So we couldn't do something without...
Welcome to having shareholders.
Yes. But it's just, when they started doing it, it was clear why they went with privacy up front. So, and what they talked...
It's private, honest, really, what they talked about was
basically this. You can ask natural questions and it interprets the questions and gives you results. And it gives you the results really quickly. And they also emphasize it's a beta. So at the moment, it's only people, photos, places, and interests. So they're not doing the extended, there's no API. So there's a lot more to come. And then they started giving examples. So they typed in a query... And I'm saying query, I probably shouldn't say query, that's probably just more my database background, but they typed in a question, my friends who live in Palo Alto who like Game of Thrones, and up came a whole lot of people. And it was things like people named Chris who are friends of Lars and went to Stanford.
So I get, finding people that in the past maybe you didn't know, can't remember their surname, but you remember there was Bob who was friends with Jim who went to,
Absolutely. And a lot of the demos, they were doing things like, you know, friends from India. And it seemed to have an emphasis in India. I don't know. Don't know particularly why. I don't know if it's just
maybe they're trying to get a contract there.
Yeah. But they went through things like, you know, where do my friends, you know, eat? You know, so Indian restaurants where my, you know, what friends recommend, or where's, and so that all that kind of stuff that you can do around likes and places and photos. And it got at the same, you're sitting there thinking, well, to do that on that data set that quickly asking these questions.
How do you do that? Yeah.
So, you know, really quite impressive. But straight away, I was just like, this is just going to expose privacy massively. Because at the moment, a lot of people put stuff on Facebook and don't realise what is actually publicly out there. And some of the kind of tech community say, well, that's their own fault. And to a certain extent, it is. You need to take control of that. But it's not made very clear. Facebook always change a lot of the privacy settings and don't think do a good enough job explaining what that exactly means and what then people can go on and find. And especially some of the stuff around like friends of friends. I mean, even the examples where people have downloaded their data, they're seeing that email addresses that they've never given to Facebook are tagged against, you know, me because you've used it and it's in your address book. And it's just like, it's scary the amount of data that they accumulate against you. And I can just see when this comes out, and everybody was twittering at the time, you know, single women who live in X and are friends with Y. It's just, and you just know it's going to happen. The photo search looked really quite powerful. And then some of the media search.
How is it able to?
Because you can do things.
Because it's face recognition is it place recognition?
It was more place. So you can do things by location. So it looked like, you know, show me great location or hotels in this area or show me like, you know, bridges or show me mountains or show me, you know, so you can start to, you know, pull out some really, you know, good photos. Mm-hmm. The media searching, show me my friends, you know, sort out my friends who likes Dark Knight Rises. But then is that going to be really predictable stuff? Because I don't know about how much stuff do you like in Facebook? I don't like very much at all.
You know what? No, I don't, because I don't like people knowing what I like. But then again, it does happen occasionally. So I occasionally submit myself to a like click.
So it's a really interesting.
Some people go mad with it.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Because every couple of days when I go in, there's a big kind of panel of, you know, such and such is like this.
Oh, and by the way, if you're on my friends list and like things just to try and win a competition, you're pushing it. I might need to remove you.
But they're friends. They're supposed to be your real friends.
Yeah, real? Some of them are borderline now.
I won't name names.
Yeah, and any happy clappy bull crap as well. You're even more risking it.
It's the people that post up things like, you know, you have to post this in your timeline or you'll have bad luck and die. And it's like, this is just like chain letters. Grow up.
Exactly.
So this has massive potential. There's no APIs at the moment. It's launching in beta and it's going to be US English. And they kept on emphasizing, but at the start of this, there's a long way to go.
Sure.
We've got
a trillion connections to try and get through yet.
No, I didn't like, in December, they sneakily said, you can't remove yourself from Facebook search. So, nice. So it's like little things like that that they've done in December.
Look at this amazing thing. You can't get out of it.
Yeah. So we can't get out of something that we're about to launch next month, but we'll change the setting in the previous month to stop you getting out of it. That's the kind of stuff that they do.
And probably because they couldn't work out technically how they could have people coming out of it. Trying to work out those connections would be impossible.
Yes. And interestingly, if there's a result, if there's a question you ask that they can't, you know, they can't provide a result for, they're going to hand over to Bing. And right. So they're the kind of web search partner. Which I think
the idea that this search is finding you answers to stuff. It's not trying to give you a load of results. It's trying to find you an answer. If it can't find that answer, then it's going to ping over to Bing for an actual general search. Bing, they're still around, are they?
There was an interesting little nugget came out of the press conference afterwards, because there's been this thing about Google and Facebook and not getting on. And Facebook's allegedly talked to Google and said, we want to partner with you with, you know, putting our content and making it indexable. But you have to make it that if I have made a post public and then I say I don't want it public, that you remove it from your index. And Google says they can't do it. Bing says they could. That's why they partnered with Bing. Because Microsoft...
Technically, they could do what they wanted.
Microsoft were willing to do what Facebook wanted. And if I go private... then respect it.
Okay. Well, that's
interesting.
Yeah, welcome to shareholders. Yeah, good.
Yes.
MySpace. We've got a new MySpace. And instead of MySpace, we just call it Music Industry Does Social Network, I think, because that's pretty much what it is, as far as I could gather. put the music front and center, and it's basically designed to have a whole ton of artists with selling you trying to sell you their latest single. You can listen to a track or maybe a teaser track, and that, as a consumer, you're supposed to say, I like them. And I couldn't really see anything else that was new MySpace.
No.
So, I mean, it didn't, it basically made me run away as soon as I got to it, just because I thought, it. I mean, literally everything in the setup is, are you a band, an artist, a producer, a thing, or a fan? It didn't say, you know, are you anything else? It's just pretty much, or a journalist was in there as well. And that was it.
Oh, you could put yourself down as a journalist.
I didn't want to, so I just pretty much, I think I said skip this step and then went next, and then all it showed me were, oh, you can look at this artist or this artist. None of them interested.
So it's been in beta for a couple of months or 3 or 4 months. Surprisingly, it kind of just opened on the same day that Justin Timberlake, who now owns, or is part owner of MySpace, launched his new single. And what's the point? I just think it's gone. I know people are saying it's slick and it's clean and all that kind of stuff.
Maybe it's a really good niche that they're trying to, make, you know, say we can exist in this space because we can then get artists' music. The music industry is struggling. They haven't got shops on the high street anymore. This is a great way of showing music that's out there. And if we get enough people, then you get good music discovery because this is what your friends are listening to.
No. It's interesting. No,
I didn't believe anything you said.
There is a certain amount of stabilization in the social networks. No, you know, there's... We went through a period of maybe, 4 or 5 years of new ones opening and other ones just disappearing. But there seems to have got a certain amount of stability right now.
MySpace was at the top of that for one bit.
One bit.
Then Facebook stole.
Yeah. I mean, MySpace, I had a MySpace, but they were awful. The pages were like...
Oh, they were ugly, ugly. They were like under construction pages from the...
GeoCities.
Yeah, they're horrible. Like, never, ever should a page ever have that many animated GIFs all in one place. Animated GIFs as backgrounds. God damn it.
You've not seen our intranet.
Yeah, so anyway, that's the new MySpace. Go check it out if you would like to. I can't say it comes with the Digital Outbox stamp of approval.
Och no. Och no.
Not that we're judgmental.
No.
Right. BT have come up with a new idea. They are going to basically link your talk time that you get with your landline and enable you to use that talk time via Wi-Fi or 3G. So you can actually maybe call home cheaply. Ian's showing me a glowing screen, which I haven't got the clue what it says on it. Not a chance. I guess he's showing me that he's got it installed. Maybe.
It's a BT Smart Talk app.
There you go. So you can get an app, and basically it means that, yes, minutes are available to you, even abroad. So if you're Wi-Fi abroad, you can probably call home for cheaper than, or free even. 3G, not so much good idea to do it that abroad because it could end up costing you twice as much. But there you go. Quite a clever idea, and I quite like it.
Yeah, and actually it linked up really easy. Downloaded the app. Well, I say easy. There was like multiple steps and multiple like phone calls. It's fairly easy. Well,
steps and multiple phone calls are all right as long as they tell you what they're doing and why they're doing it.
And it was all like, you know, computer women speaking to your computer guy speaking to you. So it wasn't like you had to speak to anybody, which would have
been... No, don't want to do that.
No. It was download the app. What was next? It was log in to your account. And then you got sent a code via your home phone number to prove that you're obviously the account holder of the phone number. Then you got sent a text to your mobile phone number with another code. Once that was done, you're good to go. And then the next day, somebody phoned the home number just to kind of re-emphasize that this had been done, and if you don't want it, here's how to go and change that. And there's an email sent through. So they're obviously slightly worried that, you know...
Yeah, because how do you prove it?
But yes.
Up to 5 people can link that phone to their account. So you can have a whole household that uses it, which is great. And also they point out that if you've got a pay-as-you-go phone that's got a bit of data available, or even no data if it's got Wi-Fi available, and you're on a network, it's probably a really easy way of using making phone calls for free.
It was actually a surprise, because I hadn't seen it talked about anywhere. It just seemed to come out, and I thought, oh, what a nice little service.
Yep, clever. So last story for today. Three have decided that they're going to censor the internet.
Which they always did do. But they've now taken it a step further.
And now they've decided they're going to censor it for, what they call mature content or adult content, and that's basically they've censored a political satire website.
Yeah, and so the Pride's Purge is a website described by its creator Tom Pride as an irreverent look at UK politics. So sounds fairly harmless, probably a bit of fun, bit of swearing, bit of kind of adult humour, but nothing adult about it. No porn, you know, nothing like that. It was just more mature, you know, humour. And it's been blocked by 3UK's child prediction filter.
Yes. Now, so this is a filter where they put on, basically where you have to ask for the block to be taken off so that you can see adult content. But the same, but it's not a different, there's no different levels. This is still blocked under the same level that if you want, make porn come on my phone, basically.
Yes.
So, if you know, as an adult, you could be quite embarrassed or just don't want that stigma of attached to, you know, I want adult content just because you want to see a political satire website. And more to the point, it's not even clear that that has been blocked. So it doesn't say anywhere that's been blocked or why it's been blocked. So it is censorship of websites based on someone inside three's point of view. Which hasn't gone down well. And those kind of things never go down well with the internet.
And as we talked before, this is like slippery slope. You know, this is the, you know, we always talked about censorship is one thing and protecting kids is one thing. But, you know, it's when it starts to extend outwards. You know, so would 3UK block a site if it was slagging off 3?
Yeah. And we haven't heard anything on Apple front, but that's why Apple got a ton of criticism, you know, for a whole load of things. Just because they, once they started down that route, they found it hard to know where to stop. Where's the line?
Yes.
Especially international lines, they vary an awful lot.
No, definitely. And Apple still get criticised. It was I'm trying to remember the app that they were blocking just last week. And it's
you
gone.
You generally hear less. I don't know whether that's because people have just resigned to it or whether it's because less times
it happens. I think we hear less because there is a certain amount of resignation. But the one last week, it was drone strikes. It was drone strikes around the world. And Apple said you can't pull the app, but it was like you can go anywhere.
It's a bit
for
offensive,
it.
Probably.
Well, is it?
But is it up to Apple to say that that's offensive? Yeah, because it's news and information, I guess.
Yeah.
Was it a game? Or was it actually just pictures of?
Oh no, strikes? No, it was actually. I mean, it was from a political organisation just trying to highlight how many drone strikes there are now in the world.
Yeah, maybe, and actually, it's probably quite important.
To yeah, and it was just because a lot of people
oblivious to these. Yeah,
you don't realise it now because you know I'm not saying troops aren't dying because obviously they are, but you know drone strikes are inflicting a lot of damage around the world, and they are a very clean
certainly
way.
A lot of people being killed by them.
Yes, but it's a very clean way for a government that can afford them.
Yep.
And that was what the app was trying to highlight.
Thems that have, them as it don't. That is the end of our podcast for today. If you would like to find out more, you can do digitaloutbox.com. Email us info@digitaloutbox.com. Twitter and Skype, Digital Outbox. I am on Twitter as CheesyUK. And Ian, you are.
I am on Twitter as Reaper. My blog is END.net. And if you've got any happy stories, please send them our way.
Please.
It's been an emotional roller coaster.
You're through it. You're through it now. So you can go and have a nice cup of tea. Make yourself feel better.
Kit Kat.
Oh, a Kit Kat. Lovely. Speak to you next week. Goodbye.
Ta-da. Was me.
I did have a Kit Kat.
Didn't even mention 12 inches of snow.
You got 12 inches of snow?
No, but Wales is to get 12 inches of snow tonight.
Well, there we go.
But that's what you get for living in Wales.
They should have some Kit Kats as well then. Stock up on Kit Kats. Oh, news tonight. Milk and bread levels getting low in supermarkets. So now everyone's going to go and panic buy. Well done, news.
I'm actually thinking, I don't normally go there, but I'm pretty sure if I go to, I'm going to do two. I'm going to go to the Daily Mail website and I'm going to go to the Express website.
Don't do it, you'll be dirty.
Express.
Plus, in your browser history, you'll have to clear your browser history.
No, I'm not joking. Panicked buyers strip shelves across the country as Met Office warns almost whole of UK will see snow and Wales will be hit by blizzards. That's the Daily Mail.
I have to say, I haven't got any food in the house. Maybe I should go out.
Express. I think you could do the diet. Britain braced for worst snowstorm in years as Met Office issue red alert. I mean, let's be honest, if you didn't eat for a couple of days, you're not going to starve, are you?
Ass wipe!
I mean, it might actually look, might actually help that old BMI. see when you win a race during the summer, you can think, yeah, the snow did that for me. And it wouldn't be some rocky moment in Rocky IV when you went out training in the, you know, Siberian winter.
Just starved quietly indoors because of panic buyers.
I ran out of pot noodles. I mean, what could I do?
Ooh, pot noodle and Kit Kat. Mm.
What a taste combination that is.
Student life.
But you're like 43.
43, my ass.
Well, your waist is.
Bastard. I'm still recording this shit.
So am I. To be honest, it's just going to be like, if you're depressed, that now the next 5 minutes is me slagging off Chris. And Chris taking it like, who would you take it like?
Yeah, be careful.
Yeah. I won't.
Phone in with your answers, listeners.
I can't believe panic buyers have stripped the shelves.
Yeah, I told you.
There's even a photo. There's photos.
I bet they haven't. I bet it's one shelf near the Daily Mail office. They just decided they'd
Tesco store in Aberdeen in South Wales. Mm. There's no bread.
There's no people there.
Well, there's no barra. Oh, they have Welsh. They've actually got Welsh above the instead of English. Biscotti is biscuits. So if you ever get stranded in Wales, at least you'll be able to get some biscotti. Hello?
No, don't even try it. Don't even try.
That was my kind of Jamaican impression of Raven. Hello, boyo.
Hello, boyo. Right. I'm stopping there.
Yeah.